You're tuned in to Agriculture Today. The advances in crop input technology have been so immense here over the recent years, and we're going to focus on this part of the broadcast on one of those technologies, automatic boom height control for field sprayers. There is a K-State publication on this topic, co-authored by A.J. Sharda, precision agricultural engineer and cropping systems economist Terry Griffin, K-State Research and Extension. Let's go back to the origins of this technology, AJ. When boom height controls came into being, they were a very important advance in sprayer operation, weren't they?
They were, definitely. And the reason all that was the product efficacy aspect of it, because when we are out in the field spraying a product, whether it is a pesticide or other things, the product should be applied uniformly all across the crop. When we set our boom heights, when we select our nozzle orifice as the application rate for a certain product, which now, as we have talked about this in previous conversations, that it comes from the product label, it is very clearly specified in terms of speed you want to maintain, droplet size you want to maintain, and the product application rate you want to maintain. They all apply if we go by manufacturer's recommendation on boom height as well. Because if we will change the height of the boom, when we talk about height of the boom, that means the distance between top of the canopy and the tip of the nozzle. So if that distance changes, I am changing my overlap. I am changing to some extent the droplet size distribution that will be seen on the canopy, but I'm also changing the chances of product drift.
Which is not a small consideration, drift, by any means.
It is not, because of the chances of the product getting off target. So if they end up on anything other than our cropland, there are chances of water contamination. It has an effect on human health, animal health, water health, and our overall soil environmental health as well. And
this is not to mention, Terry, the importance of controlling the precision of the application through boom height and other means for the actual maximum economic return on that crop input, right?
Sure. The first thing we think about with this technology is that it increases efficiencies, or at least it decreases the inefficiencies from off-target rates by the boom being too high or too low, or the droplet size issue. But there's some other issues that are very real here. If you've ever sprayed a field, especially had some topography to it, and you ran your nozzles into the dirt a few times, you understand that this technology can help reduce the risk of damage to nozzles into your boom, and that's a big player in this as well.
Terry has brought up a very good point, because now we have some of the other technologies which can tell you while sitting in the cab that one of your nozzles is either plugged or it is putting out too much product. Most of our sprayers do not have this kind of option. People have to really buy in that technology. But if that happens, then a lot of product gets wasted before the operator really gets to know. And when one of the nozzles is knocked out, we know what's going to happen to the pressure in the rest of the boom. We are not applying at the right pressure and all the other bad things which come along with it.
Stepping back a bit, what really affects the variations in boom height? And obviously terrain and changes there would, but such things as field speed play in here as well?
Absolutely. The biggest factor, obviously, as you said, is the terrain of the field. But as we have grown in terms of evolution of the technology on larger self-propelled sprayers, we are into boom widths which are 120, 130 feet wide. These sprayers are pretty efficient in terms of moving across the field. That means that I can drive, if I see a straight stretch, I might be traveling at 15, 17, 18 miles per hour. Now, with that said, I'm very quickly traversing different areas within the field with changing topography, but also the aspect of the speed factor coming in and the boom bounce which happens on surfaces with uneven soil surface, or maybe there are smaller terraces or things of those nature. So that can also affect the consistency of your boom height while in operation.
So it's kind of analogous when we're talking about automated section control and automated guidance. Remember the discussions we've had earlier about how the field shape and size impacts the relative importance of section control and automated guidance. Well, here it's the same way. And terrain is that field characteristic that is going to reveal whether this technology is going to be profitable for that farm or not.
And again, coming back to some of the economics aspect of it, that if I have a boom height control capability on my sprayer, then I can maximize my productivity in terms of how I should be, you know, traversing my field, which is optimum in terms of timeliness, mm-hmm. right. rather than which is optimal in terms of my terrain. You know, I'm trying to go along the terrain, but if my field is telling me that I have longer passages with my terrain on the side, I can mm-hmm. utilize my technology and I can right. be more productive mm-hmm. in the field.
Take it a step further, going back to the idea of running the nozzles into the ground mm-hmm. and breaking them. Well, you know, think about the downtime efficiencies we've lost because mm-hmm. now we're having to repair. It may take hours out of a prime spraying time. And if we've got, especially a commercial operation that has a lot of acres that need to be sprayed this week, that could push it back a little bit and cause some yield penalties from, you know, delayed spray.
Absolutely.
The K-State publication we're referencing here talks about the technology, and we won't get into too many details here, but by and large, AJ, these are sensor-based systems, are they not?
They are. Their most typical sensors we are using is ultrasonic sensors. Most typically, we have one ultrasonic sensor on the right and one on the left of the boom, which continuously monitors the height of the boom from the top of the canopy and gives feedback to the controller in terms of whether it is at the right height or not. And then based on that feedback, if there are terrain differences, it lowers the boom or raises the boom to maintain that height.
There are variations on the systems from there, depending on what commercial outlet you're looking at, correct?
Correct. There are. Like NOREC has an active boom roll thing, which can be bought in because, you know, as we talk about two ultrasonic sensors on one on the right and left, this one goes in the middle and maintains the height of the boom in the middle section as well. There are other sprayer manufacturers who are bringing newer products to the market, and they are having more than two. Essentially, they have four ultrasonic sensors which are put on the boom. So that can take the shape of the terrain a little bit more better in terms of how they are moving in the field. And obviously, the tighter you can control the height of the boom, the better you are, you know, because there are a few things which are very, very critical from that standpoint, that if you have the right boom height, that is the only time when, you know, you can control the drift properly. You can have less variation of droplet in droplet size. Mm-hmm. And then that is the only point when you can think of going at higher speeds, because you want to go at higher speed, but if your boom is not maintaining the type of tight boom height you are expecting to maintain, then you're going faster on productivity, but then you might be losing product to drift based on changing height of the boom.
We want producers to get a hold of this publication, study it, for it provides more detail on the systems out there on the commercial front and what they need to look at. But just from both of your perspectives here, what would you recommend that a producer interested in investing in one of these systems concentrate on as they shop for a system? Are there particular features that they need to look hard at?
If I'm going to go out and shop for this thing, I would like to have these systems integrated into my existing technology. I would not like something which needs a lot of modifications on my boom, because that means adding extra weight aspect of it. So essentially, if we talk about, you know, all the technologies, they do not carry a whole lot of extra hardware which is going to be on the boom.
So you want to be compatible with what you have presently in terms of boom hardware.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is one important thing. I would like something which is more hydraulic. You know, the hydraulic controls are a little bit more tighter. They are more smoother also. That is a second thing. But I will also go with something which has an in-cab display. I can sit in my cab and adjust the height of the boom in the way I want it. I can look at if something goes wrong. I can make adjustments. I can be conscious about what is happening in the back of my boom, because as you talk about, product is costly. Product is pest specific and weed specific. You know, we really want to optimize on the cost of the input from that side. So anything which can help me, you know, monitor what is going on by sitting in the cab, that is what I would be looking at.
Terry?
I want to add that, you know, when we talk about precision ag, there's two different kinds. One is we're gathering data and we have to figure out how to use it. Another type of precision ag is automated technology. We're talking about automated guidance, automated section control, automated boom height control. And these technologies that are automated typically require less skill than without the technology. Mm-hmm. So that's a big deal as well. It's sort of plug and play is the terminology we use in software.
The publication we're referring to here is entitled Automatic Boom Height Control Technology for Agricultural Sprayers. It's available now at the K-State Research and Extension Bookstore. That's at ksre.ksu.edu. Gentlemen, thank you for the quick overview right here.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
With us in Agriculture Today, Precision Agricultural Engineer A.J. Sharda and Cropping Systems Economist Terry Griffin, both of K-State Research and Extension. We'll return with more shortly here on Agriculture Today. This is the K-State Radio Network.